May the force be with all of you, as we are the real thing on morelikeradio.com. Exclusively on morelikeradio.com. It is December 27th, 2016, and not a moment too soon. This year needs to end. But not before thanking my wonderful co-host, Chris Whetton, and welcoming him on the show. Chris Whetton, how are you?
Well, thank you. Yes, I'm fine. How about you? Doing good?
I'm in good health.
Merry Xmas.
Merry Xmas to you, too. Did you get everything that you wanted for Christmas?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I was trying to sound as creepy as possible. We had a great Christmas.
That's good. That's good. So, as always, you can follow us on Facebook, on Twitter. I haven't really seen any traffic as much, but you can always follow us. We are the real thing.
It's just about to blow up.
TheRealThingMLR. It will. It should. Because we're just two dudes talking, and we've got an opinion. If you like it, great. If not, then get your own podcast.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, we'll listen to your podcast, too. There's a couple people that probably are opinionated enough to either be on here, which there's always an open invite.
Anyone that's listening that wants to come talk to us, let's talk.
Let's go. Come on now. We've got plenty of opinionated friends, a.k.a. assholes, a.k.a. assholes that we love.
Yeah, we love assholes.
We love assholes. That's a drop. That's never going to go away. That's in perpetuity.
Come bring us your asshole.
But as we are always want to do, we go through the numbers since we were last here about 2 weeks ago. And for the last 2 weeks, as it has been and as it is until we get something bigger, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. That is your number one. It was your number one the weekend of December 16th with $155 million.
Jesus Christ.
Last weekend, $64 million with a cumulative total of $286.
Damn. A shitload of money. Everybody knew. I mean, it's a Star Wars movie. You knew it was going to make a bunch of money. Like, at some point, are we going to get a Star Wars movie that flops? Like, we're going to get so many Star Wars movies in the next couple years. Although, if they keep up like this, like, people seem to love this one, so...
I don't think so. I don't think so for two reasons.
You don't think we'll get one that flops ever?
No. There's a built-in audience. There's a built-in audience that has kids that are just being sucked right in.
Yeah.
And number two, only one of them comes out each year, as opposed to Marvel or any comic book movies where it's just month after month after month.
Well, even Marvel, I don't know that they've had flop per se.
They haven't had a flop, but they always come twofers.
Yeah, they're twofers. Yeah, or maybe threefers, like three a year tops or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right. I'm just sort of like asking, you know, a rhetorical question, like, because now maybe we will get a Star Wars movie every year, and eventually, if not a flop, eventually there will be one possibly that's, you know, seen as a disappointment. Then again, I guess you could say that the prequels are a disappointment of sorts.
And they made...
Not monetarily.
Bank.
Yeah, not monetarily, but the Star Wars franchise has already gone through its sort of embarrassing times. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Embarrassment. Yeah, they were embarrassed all the way to the bank. No, I mean, it was embarrassing for us. It was embarrassing for me. I mean, like, remember in 1999 or 1998 when we found out they were going to make a new Star Wars movie and they re-released the old ones? We worked at the movie theater.
Yes.
They re-released the old ones. Those theaters were packed out for Return of the Jedi and shit. We had Peter Mayhew at the movie theater signing autographs and shit.
Remember when I got in trouble by Matt McKenna because I accidentally showed, within a matter of hours between the theater actually opening up and, if you guys want to come in at 6:30 in the morning, like, I'll show it. Like, I have to watch it, but I have to watch it by myself so that I can see that the print's actually been built correctly.
Oh, wait, you're talking about Phantom Menace, right?
I'm talking about Phantom Menace.
Yeah. I do remember that. Yes. Yeah. Do you remember how excited you were when you were previewing that at 6 o'clock in the morning? How excited we all were for a new Star Wars?
Yeah.
And the like collective feeling of nerds around the country when it was just like, walking out of it, like, pod racing scene was pretty cool and.
The Pod Racer game was good.
Pod Racer game was the best thing about Star Wars Phantom Menace.
Right.
The Pod Racer game on, what was it, Nintendo 64?
Well,
Nintendo?
I was talking about the one with the actual cabinet, but you're absolutely right. The one on Nintendo 64.
Oh,
that was
played
the shit
out of that thing.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. It was like that and GoldenEye. That was like the summer of that and GoldenEye.
Yeah.
But then, like, the whole, like, the entire nerd universe was just like, you know, boners flopping after you want to see that movie. Just like, raging boner!
Doesn't take a lot for that to happen.
Flippity flop,
but...
Yeah, I mean, it's just so terrible. So it's already gone through its embarrassing times, and they seem to have righted the ship. It was definitely a good move to kick, Lucas off, or anyway, for him to step down, right?
I think it was a good idea.
We can all agree on that.
I think it was a good idea to sell to Disney.
Is there anyone that's making the argument? And actually, I think I made the argument.
Yes.
Force Awakens came out, and possibly in a couple minutes, I might sort of be making a similar argument about Rogue One, okay. Which is, I do think that the Star Wars franchise has sort of righted the ship from the prequels. Like, they've sort of righted some things,
yeah.
But then they've sort of also created brand new problems. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Part of which could be more solved. I'm talking about The Force Awakens. The problems The Force Awakens had could be solved by a filmmaker or a writer like George Lucas, which is, it needs to take its time, it needs to slow down, it needs to develop characters and so on. I'm not so sure that that's exactly the problem that Rogue One has, if it does have any problems.
Okay.
But not a perfect movie. Force Awakens, not a perfect movie. We can all agree, better than the prequels. Right?
Yes.
I think that's the feeling everyone has.
Yes. Now,
let's get into it.
We saw Rogue One over the weekend.
You saw it in Texas.
I saw it in Dallas.
Tejas.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about Dallas, Tejas. So
Tejas nerds.
We went to go. Okay, look.
Sounds like a good movie. Texas nerds.
I saw it opening weekend. Listen, I will watch these fucking movies just so that I can have an opinion about it and just be justified in it. Of course, everybody has an opinion. You can disagree all you want, but. There's
Everyone wants to see a Star Wars.
There is intangibles with this whole thing because we went to go to lunch at 1 o'clock before the movie.
Go to lunch.
Go directly. Will you go to lunch?
Go to lunch. Go home. Go to lunch.
It was 70 degrees when we went to go eat. When we got out, we went to go see the movie 4 o'clock. We got out of the movie.
Wait a minute. Where'd you eat?
We ate at... Baby, where did we eat?
BJ's Brewhouse.
Yeah, got a little BJ.
Little Beej.
Yeah.
I mean, they know all about Beej.
Beej action.
They know all about Beej's in Texas. Tejas.
Yeah.
So we got out of there. We went to go see the movie. We got out at like 6:30, 40 degrees.
That's an early-ass movie.
Yeah, I like the matinee. Yeah. It was super filled up. And by the way, as we've talked about before on The Real Thing on MoreLikeRadio.com, reserve seating.
Oh, my God.
Reclining seats that go back.
Get out of here.
There's fucking, like, barriers and stuff so that you've got enough room to walk in front of the person that's, like, fully reclined back. It's got, like, fucking armchairs and little cup holders and everything. Like,
what the fuck is wrong with movie theaters these days that they don't all have reserve? Like, they don't all need this, like, that you can ride a recumbent bicycle in, although I would certainly pay for it.
Right.
But the reserved seating and the dispensing of the alcohol. Like, why is every theater not on board with this?
They did not have that. That was the one caveat. I was like, if you would have had that
problem.
Magic, Chris.
Oh, my God.
But
I bring, you know, my wife has this gigantic water bottle that I can literally fit 3 beers into. And any movie I go to see, doesn't matter what it is. I went and saw Manchester by the Sea, had my 3 beer cup. I went and saw Star Wars, had my 3 beer cup.
Yeah.
Why are you not selling me a beer? I would buy it. Rather than sneak it in, I would buy your beer for whatever you're selling it for, you know?
But I'm telling you, it's like a Lazy Boy warehouse, like, exhibition. Oh, like, it's just, like, 50 rows, and they're all Lazy Boys. They're all the crime bike. There's a little barrier so that,
that's
like, just,
super nice.
Like, your point of view, your field of vision...
Completely...
Not obstructed by anything dealing it. Yeah, super awesome.
The reserve seating alone, I would forget about the beer, forget about the reclining seat, forget about the D-Box, forget about 3D.
D-Box.
I went and saw Rogue One in D-Box. And by the way, the reason I get D-Box more than the
reserve
movement
seating.
Is the reserve seat.
Of course. Smart, super smart.
Oh my God. I don't have to worry about getting there 30 minutes early, or for a movie like this, 40 fucking 5 minutes early if you're with 2 people. If you want to get 3, 4, 5, 6 seats together,
you're
going to get there fucking hour early.
No, dude, remember when we went to go see Doctor Strange?
Doctor Strange,
like,
man.
Like, hey, these 2 seats, 4 and 5. Yeah. 4 and 5. Get the fuck out.
It was so hard for me not to, like, literally, like, point my finger at them and go, get the fuck out. Like, finger and then the backwards thumb. Like, finger, like, back it right into the backwards thumb. Get the fuck out of my seat.
All of this being said, we saw the movie. We left the movie theater 6:30. 40 degrees. Mm-hmm. Later on that night when we're just hanging out, we went to go visit our friends Mike and Kristen. Mm-hmm. 6 goddamn degrees in Dallas.
Oof.
Cold as shit. It, like, what's the cold planet in Star Wars? Hoth?
Hoth.
There you go. So it's cold as fucking Hoth in there.
As they said in the Family Guy movie, should be called Colth.
But yes, we saw it, and Enlighten us, Chris. What is the premise of Rogue One? A Star Wars story, which is the very first kind of movie that is in the echelon of Star Wars movies.
It's the first of the sort of spin-off movies that's not part of the main Episode 1, Episode 2, Episode 3, 4, 5,
right.
6, and now we have Episode 7. So we got 7 of those movies. This is the first of the spin-off movies. It goes between Episode 3 and Episode 4. So it goes in between the last sequel, which is Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
And the first Star Wars movie ever made, which is Star Wars A New Hope, which is Episode 4. It goes right between those two.
Okay.
And we all remember the original Star Wars. They're trying to blow up the Death Star at the end of the movie. Luke Skywalker, you know, flies the TIE fighter or whatever the hell it is and blows up the Death Star. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
They got the plans. Many Bothans died to get us these plans. This is the story of the rebels stealing the plans for the Death Star so that they would know where to fly their TIE fighter. Otherwise, you're just flying around a big planet. How would you know that it has this, you know, vulnerable spot that you can hit with one laser beam and the whole thing blows up?
Well, sure.
This is the story of how they knew that it had that one spot.
Okay.
How they found the Death Star's G-spot. That was the original, that was the working title of this movie.
Kind of
Death Star G-spot.
I am still working on that title even to this day. So this movie is essentially just, you know, and this is kind of the thing that I like. Okay, listen, I am not admittedly a huge Star Wars fan. But I do like that you can now do whatever you can do whatever you want. Who shot first? You could do a Han Solo versus Greedo. And we're about to get that in about couple of years.
You can have whatever you like.
According to T.I., that's right. So you've got this.
You can do anything.
You can figure out exactly like the little layers.
And this is
many,
clever.
Many layers.
And they cleverly work it in there. They cleverly work it between the two movies, which is, you know, at the end of Revenge of the Sith, the prequel, you're going to say what you want about the prequels, that's probably the best of them, sure. Maybe possibly.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, the Empire takes over at the end of it, the Jedi's and the Rebellion is crushed,
right.
You know. So this movie cleverly goes right after that, which is the Empire is taking over the entire galaxy, everyone is living in the shadow of the Empire, and prior to all the events of the first movie. So it doesn't have any of that sort of hope that the first movie brings about, you know, Luke Skywalker character being the savior and so on and so forth.
Hence A New Hope.
Hence the word A New Hope.
There you go.
Very clever. And that, so there's many, many things like that that they have very cleverly sort of sandwiched into this movie to tie it between the two movies, that it's sort of the meat and cheese between those two pieces of bread.
Understood. And so, as I know that you're a big Star Wars fan, like you, you follow this incessantly. You are not nerdy. Like, if you had this, why would you do this? Blah blah blah.
Yeah, no, I've never read any Star Wars novels, and frankly, I like fewer Star Wars movies than I dislike. I dislike far more. Like, I don't really like any of the prequels. I do like Star Wars A New Hope. I think that Empire Strikes Back is the best one. And I think that Return of the Jedi is sort of half of a good movie and the other half kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Force Awakens, I'm sort of on board with them, like, starting a whole new thing there. Like, they did a good job starting. I'm very anxious to see what the new one is like.
Yeah, yeah.
I am more, like, I'm a fan of Star Wars only because I watched it as a child, and I'm sort of... It has a nostalgia factor for me
that
does not have for you, right?
That is why it will never fail. It will never fail financially because of that point. Yeah,
sure.
Exactly. So
you ask if there's going to be one that's a disappointment financially? Not for me. I mean, I'm probably going to see any Star Wars movie they make.
Yeah. So so before we go any further, spoilers. Obviously, duh.
Yeah.
Like, if you're listening up to this point, like, you already know the plot, but we're getting into the nitty-gritty. And,
sure.
I would almost kind of imagine that if you're listening to this point and you haven't seen the movie yet, then you're kind of doing a disservice to yourself because you probably need to watch it.
I gotta understand anything we're talking about.
So you tell me, what'd you think?
I thought it was sort of fine. I wasn't, like, blown away by it at all. I feel like... And here's probably, it's probably the most damning thing I can say about it, which is some people like the first half but don't like the second half, and some people like the second half but don't like the first half. There's a lot of that sort of talk going around.
I'm the latter, not the former.
Which is, you like the second half, but you do not like the first half.
I have problems with the first, not so much with the second.
Yeah. I think I sort of fall the other way.
Okay.
I think I sort of like the first half better.
Okay, let's talk about this.
Which is where they're building the characters and sort of telling you how we got to where we are right now.
Sure.
And how we're putting this sort of ragtag team of misfits together to steal these plans. And sure. How it all comes together. That's okay. Kind of the first half of the movie. Yeah. Second half of the movie is basically an action heist type movie.
Right.
Right? I would say that possibly the most damning thing that I can say about this movie is if you took it out of the Star Wars universe, if this was just a space movie about space pirates, and there were no Star Wars references,
okay.
Darth Vader was another character.
Yeah.
All the other Star Wars references were gone. Jedi's gone. Lightsaber's gone. All that stuff.
Yeah.
The Empire, the Emperor, none of those references existed. They were all replaced by some other generic sci-fi version.
Okay.
This movie would be an absolute fucking zero. Absolute fucking zero.
Really?
I mean, only is successful because it exists in the Star Wars universe. You take those elements out of it, it's zero. Nothing.
Well, first of all, I don't think they would gut that much out of that in regards to...
I'm saying like hypothetically.
Hypothetically, right. But you could also say the same thing for something in the regard of Guardians of the Galaxy. If you really break it down, it's kind of a generic premise where you've got this ragtag group of guys, girls, aliens, beings, etc., that have got to save the universe, and they have to figure out a way to go along with each other and then somehow focus on saving the universe. Isn't that basically the exact same premise that all, major sci-fi movies do have?
Two movies do have a similar premise. Sure. They have very different tones.
Yeah.
And I would say that, I'll go along with that, for the sake of argument, and say, they have the same premise. Guardians of the Galaxy is a successful movie in its own right. And it doesn't have... It's not depending on touchstones that you know from a previous superhero movie. You know what I mean?
Right.
Rogue One does. Yeah. Rogue One depends very heavily on touchstones from previous movies.
Okay.
Some of the exciting moments, some of the moments that the audience cheers and clap for, whether it's R2-D2 and C-3PO appearing in a brief moment, then they're about to board a ship that's going to be at the end. Whether it's Princess Leia appearing at the end. Whether it's the appearance of the General Tarkin character.
No, Jesus Christ. Okay, now,
We'll get into that in a minute, because I have a lot of thoughts on that. Tarkin down.
Okay, write Tarkin down.
We're on a roll here.
There's a lot of good actors in this movie, though.
This movie depends on those touchstones.
Yeah.
If you don't have those Star Wars touchstones, if that's some other character going apeshit and just killing people at the end of the movie, does it have the same power as it does to see Vader unleash and kill people like that?
I don't know. At some point, even... Okay, look. Just the normal moviegoer, not the Star Wars, huge fan or anything else. When C-3PO and R2-D2 show up, I think it's corny.
Yeah.
I do. I feel like, okay, whatever.
But you're not precious about Star Wars. You're not nerdy like I am. So there's three different groups of people. There's me.
Yeah.
I love Star Wars, and I get excited about those moments.
Yeah.
There's you. You've seen all the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
But you just don't give a shit. You're just not a big Star Wars fan. You're fine with it when they're really good, like Empire.
Yeah.
And you're okay with it when they're sort of, average, like Force Awakens. But you don't really care.
Yeah.
It doesn't get you pumped. And then there's a third group of people, and that's who I'm wondering about.
Okay.
People who have never seen a Star Wars, as Lucille Bluth says. People who have never seen a single Star Wars movie watching Rogue One. What do you think? They think I would argue that I'll bet those people would say this movie sucked ass. Because they're like, what? I don't know what this guy at the end of the... Am I supposed to be excited because there's some guy I saw in one scene earlier in the movie who's now throwing people across the room and killing them with a red lightsaber?
But has the franchise existed long enough where you almost are compelled... it's like Harry Potter.
In our DNA. You have to understand who Darth Vader is.
You have to... Well, that too.
Yeah.
It's part of our consciousness. It's part of our pop culture...
Possibly, for kids. I would bet there's lots of teenagers...
Right.
Teenagers
know dick.
I know, but we were teenagers when we got it.
And
really
we knew
into.
Dick.
Yeah, I knew dick.
Or, I knew pussy, but whatever. It's besides.
Not
a lot of it, but, whatever.
Yeah. I would argue that a 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old who's never seen a Star Wars, probably this movie is not very successful for them. It might be fine. It might be how we feel about,
But then we're going back to the example that you made before where... Your kids will know about Star Wars because you are a fan of Star Wars.
They've already seen it. They've already seen it several times.
So there you go. So then they're always going to be built into, you know, like, hey, all the things that I liked, I want to make sure that, like, you share them. And obviously you're not going to, like, try to, like, you know, coax them or force them into liking something that they obviously are, you know, not as precious as you are.
Yeah.
But they're going to like anything.
I'm arguing, I guess, that, I mean, if a person has never seen Star Wars, I don't think that they would be crazy about this movie, Rogue One.
Yeah.
I've seen Star Wars. I love Star Wars.
Yeah.
I wasn't crazy about Rogue One.
Right.
I mean, I like the first half where they're trying to sort of introduce us to characters and trying to develop some characters that we care about. Ultimately, I don't think they were ever very successful. Did you care about any of the characters in this movie at all? Why was she necessary, first off? Let's talk about the main character, Jyn.
Jyn Erso.
Erso.
Yeah.
Why was it that she was necessary? She was there in for the Forrest Whitaker character, right?
Right. In order to talk to him, because he, Forrest Whitaker's character, and see, this is, okay, this is the other problem that I have with this goddamn franchise, is that you could call them, I waited after to just make sure I'm looking at the credits. Oh, okay, this person, that person, etc., etc. You could call any character Happy Scrappy Hero Pup, and it wouldn't fucking matter. Like, you just, like, Alien 1, Alien 2, they always have to have some, right, like, grand ornate, like,
Saw Gerrervo.
Yeah, like, whatever. Kind of... So, but anyway,
so they're referring to those characters inside the movie, and you're like, wait, who's that? What?
I don't care.
Who is that?
That's the I don't care part of my, yeah, Star Wars lexicon. So, but it's Jyn Erso, and her father was responsible for building the Death Star.
Yeah.
And he had to make a choice between dying or doing what was ultimately in his mind going to happen anyway, and so he acquiesced and went off with, oh, what the hell is his name? Awesome, Ben Mendelsohn's character.
Ben Mendelsohn, yeah.
Whoever the hell his
one
name
is. One of the high points of the movie, Ben Mendelsohn.
He's really good.
Yeah.
So he went off to go join the Empire in order to build the Death Star.
Right.
The Death Star that they mentioned multiple times, but he built it on purpose with a flaw, and in order to get that, right, flaw to the Rebels,
it's got a secret interior butthole that Luke Skywalker can fire a laser,
right,
beam into.
It's right in the TIE fighter style. So,
right.
She's, you know, they're trying to make a universe where everything's all inclusive. It's not, honestly, like, it's not,
sure,
like white people anymore, and it's not just white males or anything.
I have no,
like,
problem with her being a girl. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm happy that they're putting more, yeah, female characters in Star Wars. I'm fine about that.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the character. The character doesn't have much development. What does she do? I don't know. She's kind of a space pirate or something like that. She leaves the Forrest Whitaker character 10 years prior to the movie that we're watching.
Or she's abandoned.
Or he left her, abandoned her, or whatever.
Yeah.
What's she been doing in the meantime? We're not really sure. We see her. She's in custody.
In prison.
She's rescued from custody. Okay, so once she gets them into the Forrest Whitaker character, why is she necessary after that? Don't know, but right. And it's not really explained, which is weird because the movie does a lot of explaining and not a lot of showing. Like, lots of telling, not a lot of showing.
Well,
Forrest Whitaker, for example. Lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of talk about how he's this badass revolutionary leading the rebels and all this kind of stuff, leading this rebellion. You never see any of that.
Yeah.
And so it's confusing because you got these guys who are apparently at odds with Forrest Whitaker, but they're both part of a rebellion against the Empire.
Yeah.
Unclear why they're in two different rebellions. Then you got the Empire. It's very confusing. Lots of telling, no showing. So
yeah.
Ultimately, you don't really understand what the conflict is between those characters.
But therein, you're basically explaining my problem with the first half.
Which is what?
Which is just, it's just a lot of things that are inherently asked of you to be understood without question.
Sure.
And no follow through, no demonstration of this or that, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
Until you get to the second half.
Yeah.
The second half is what I like the most because when it comes to anything that you've seen besides this movie, like Force Awakens, to a very, very small degree, but especially Empire Strikes Back, and I'm just guising it off of my recollection and my obviously like a fandom when it comes to this whole universe, is that there is never ever any consequence, real consequence that you see.
Yes.
It's just always talked about in tropes, or you're talking about it in a fable sort of way, where
right.
And many, many years ago when this sort of thing happened, and we are at where we are at right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but the second half, that's where all of that demonstration about there is always a price to pay and there's consequence for what you are going to do on behalf of the rebellion or this or that.
Sure.
That's what I liked about it.
Yeah, and I think that part of it works. And when I say that I like the first half better than the second half, I like it in spite of the fact that I agree with the faults that you point out about it. I don't think it's terribly successful at what it's trying to do, that is build characters and build a whole new, drama happening within this universe. It is successful to varying degrees at different parts with different characters, but it's not entirely successful.
Yeah.
The second half is successful in what you're talking about, which is you see those consequences, which we don't generally see in the previous movies. You see Obi-Wan Kenobi die, but he's still essentially alive,
just
talking to everybody still and walking around.
Shows up either as a hologram or a ghost. Yeah. Like, all right, well, whatever.
I guess that wasn't much of a consequence.
Yeah.
Luke loses a hand, but then he gets a better one.
Yeah. Like, fucking badass, just flipping around, killing Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, yeah, now I can crush steel with my hand.
Yeah.
No big deal. And by the way, cut my other hand off, please.
Whoops!
Cut my whole arm off if I can have one of these cyborg arms.
Right, right.
So you're right, you do see some consequences, because, spoiler alert, everybody fucking dies. This is a suicide mission.
Yeah.
All the main characters die, all the fucking side characters die, like all the bad guys, for the most part, other than the characters who you're going to see in episode 4.
Yeah.
They are successful in their mission. Here's my problem with the second half.
Okay.
Lots and lots of... We gotta run over to the power generator and hook up we gotta switch on the beam, and then we're gonna send out the signal. More telling and no showing. Like, what are we doing? Like, one guy over... Like, at any point in the second half of the movie, you could have said to me... You could have, like, paused it. Record scratch.
Yeah.
And be like, okay, who are these people?
Right.
Where are they? What are they doing?
Right.
And I'd have been like,
listen, this whole thing with Star Wars and everything else, like, isn't it essentially a video game? I mean, it really is. Like, this is, okay.
I don't know.
Assassin's Creed or Tomb Raider or any of these other crappy video game movies, I would argue that Star Wars is a very well-made sci-fi universe, obviously, and, you know, it shows with fucking cashola. That's the only thing that I'm guising off of, you know, like,
I don't
success.
Know, man. I agree with that.
But when it talks about how you got to do mission one completed, on to mission two, we got to get
well,
this.
Well, that's how this movie is, for sure.
Well, right.
I don't think that, say, for instance, the original Star Wars, New Hope, or episode five, which is Empire Strikes Back,
yeah.
I don't think those movies are video game-like. I think they are very somewhat slowly paced character movies that are essentially about good versus evil and the choices we make and how, you know, it's easy to make the easy choice, which is instant gratification, but, you know, you're going to do the right thing. Oh, kind of bullshit,
right.
You know. I don't think it's video game. Like, those movies are not like this.
This one is, though.
This one is like that. The second half is action.
Yeah.
It's straight up action, and you do get to see, like I said, all the characters die. You know, you do get to see that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's all action, you know? And there's not a lot of that kind of action, just balls to the wall, wall to wall action in the original movies.
Unless you see Force. Well, yeah, I'm glad you clarified that, too, because this kind of, like, balls to the wall action that you're talking about, like, that was pretty prevalent in Force Awakens. At least to me.
It was pretty prevalent in Force Awakens. No, you're right. Yeah. And those are some of the. And that's where we go back to me saying they could have taken a page out of George Lucas's book to make these movies better. And maybe it is somewhat true in this movie. Not that they don't attempt to character build. They do attempt. I don't think they're very successful in the first half of the movie doing that character and world building. And that's why the second half is not as successful when you're seeing those characters in balls to the wall action.
Do you think...
We only give a shit about Indiana Jones or James Bond when he's in these balls-to-the-wall action scenes.
Yeah.
Because we know that they've set up the character and the story. We only give a fuck about Jason Bourne because we understand the background and what he's trying to achieve.
Right.
We understand that they are trying to steal plans for the Death Star, but we don't understand the motivations for all of those characters. The Jedi, the two Jedi-esque characters for whatever, the samurai guys, the Asian guys. Sorry.
Yeah.
They're not Jedis, they're not samurais. Alright, the fucking Asian guys.
I'm with the Force is with me. That guy.
What is their motivation? I don't understand. I liked them. I thought it was cool.
I thought it was cool too.
The fucking, like, fighting, the kung fu fighting is really cool. Why are these guys with them? And why are the other people allowing them to be with them?
Because they're secondary, man.
They're secondary characters.
You only have 2 hours and 15 minutes to try to explain all this stuff in the entire lexicon of the Star Wars universe. For example, if you had 9 hours to explain Luke Skywalker's plight or Princess Leia or Han Solo or anything else.
I would argue they could have done a better job with fewer characters. Take the Riz Ahmed character, for instance.
Yeah.
A perfect opportunity for them to have a very strong character who really it really weighs on him what he's doing. He's abandoned his empire, he's abandoned his position, and all this kind of stuff. He can play all the stuff that Mads Mikkelsen doesn't get to play. That's, you know, Jin Erso's father who's built the Death Star and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he has actually, he's not a rebel in the sense that he just works with Princess Leia. He has rebelled. He has left the Empire. He was part of the Empire. And they don't make much of it.
And he's shunned by both sides, by the way.
He's shunned by both sides. They don't do much with him. Yeah. They just let him just sort of sit there with his eyes wide, and they don't do much with that character.
Right.
You could get rid of the two samurai characters, or get rid of one of the fucking samurai characters.
Do you think...
Give Riz Ahmed more to do.
Do you think that this may have anything to do with the reported reshoots, rewrites?
I hadn't thought about that, but maybe you're right. Maybe it did. It's certainly possible.
Do you think that how everyone does die in this movie, everybody of highly significant value, was part of the original script or part of the rewrite?
Gosh, I don't know. I don't even know if we'll ever get answers to those kind of questions. I would love to know.
Just a hypothetical.
I would love to know what those reshoots entailed.
Right.
The rumors were what? That it was too dark, that it wasn't exciting enough.
Can it get more darker than this?
This is pretty dark. This is like, as darkest. Star Wars movies go, this one is pretty dark. Some humor.
Is this the darkest one?
Is this the darkest Star... Revenge of the Sith's pretty fucking dark.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what it's fucking killing kids and shit. And
yeah,
like,
that's true.
Everybody fucking, like, is in a bad place at the end of that movie on both sides.
Yeah.
That one's pretty fucking dark. But this one is also very dark. Like, literally everyone dies at the end, you know?
What did you think of... let's get to Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yeah.
So I actually remember this shit, by the way.
Yeah, I fucked it up earlier. I said General Tarkin. It was Grand Moff Tarkin.
Now, first of all, I'm
sounds like something you'd order at a restaurant. Oh, the
Grand Moff Tarkin, and a Yingling, please.
Side of asparagus.
Yeah, so I was... Okay, so... Here's my rationale. I'm just dumb. I'm a very dumb man on the real thing on morelikeradio.com.
Don't tell me you didn't notice.
Don't tell me I didn't notice. I didn't realize he was fucking dead. I didn't realize Peter Cushing had been dead since 1994.
So when you're watching the movie, like, you thought what?
That he's really, man, this is a really creepy guy. Like, he's really, really, like, fucking good. He's a good, like...
You and my wife both didn't wreck. She was like, he's wearing so much makeup, he looks like a drag queen.
Not at all. Now,
you didn't realize he was CGI?
Not at all.
That took me right out of the fucking movie immediately. Now, I will say I did know that he was dead.
Yeah.
So, and I knew that he was going to be CGI. That got spoiled for me.
Right. Princess Leia, on the other hand, oh yeah, that totally was, you know, that was...
Oh, that's funny, I thought she was more successful. I thought the CGI... Of course you know that she's still alive.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second.
No, I thought that one was more successful. It looked better. However, you have the benefit of two things. Number one, she's young. Number two, she's still alive, so she was probably able to participate.
Right.
And number three, she only says one fucking word. Like, you know, like...
Didn't even know.
No time to fuck it up.
Didn't even notice. Not a one thing.
Peter Tarkin, you didn't really... Oh, it ripped me right out of the fucking movie.
No. In fact, I was like,
well, there goes my argument that it just doesn't work and they can't ever get it right. Because they clearly got it right for you, and it worked.
They can get it right for some people, and I guess would be good enough. I mean, $285 million can't be wrong.
God,
so.
It just does not work for me. I was like, immediately, like, fucking, brrr, record scratch. Just oh, God. You can't... There's something... Is it the eyes? Is it the mouth? Is it the movement?
Uncanny Valley.
Uncanny Valley just fucking. Ugh.
I'll tell you what did kind of take me out of it. So, when everyone's dying like one by one by one, I'm like, oh shit! You, like once a certain amount of people are deceased, you know that there's no going back.
As soon as you get there, you're like, man, of course it's going this way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eventually, you realize, oh, this is a suicide.
Jin Erso and what the hell, whatever his name is, Griffin or whatever the shit is, Gaffin or whatever his name is.
Cassian,
there you go. Diego Luna.
They are on
the beach and the Death Star is nuking the entire city from on high. And I was reminded of the 1998 movie Deep Impact, where Tia Leone is sitting on the beach.
Yeah.
Holding her dad while the huge wave is crashing onto the beach and everything else. So that was kind of like, all right, well...
Diego Luna was strange for me because on one hand, Diego Luna's been around for 10, 12 years or something like that since E2 Mama Tambien or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I've always liked Diego Luna. Like, every time he pops up, I'm always happy to see him. He's in, you know, one of my favorite movies, Open Range, and he's very funny in it. And so I was really happy to see not only that he was in Rogue One, but he is, like, you know...
He's carrying it.
He is carrying the movie as the male lead, along with, what's her snatch?
Felicity Jones.
Felicity Jones, yeah. Those are the two leads of the movie. She's the female lead, he's the male lead.
Yeah.
And he's got one of the biggest parts he's ever gotten, and I liked him, and he was great. I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, my question is, why did they Han Solo him up so much?
I don't know as much as you do.
Did you notice that? Did it feel that way? Is this totally surprising to you that I'm saying that?
No, it makes sense. That does make sense.
I mean, he's literally wearing the same shirt that Han Solo wears. Like, it's the same shirt.
Are you surprised, though? Because they're basically rebooting the same tropes that they have in the Star Wars universe.
I am surprised, because that's one of the things in the movie that I had a problem with, which is...
Yeah.
Some of the touchstones are brilliant.
Yeah.
The two guys that they run into on the city where the Jedi... Which, by the way, that city where the pyramid blows up or whatever... That is, like, where the Jedi's come from. Did you pick up on that? It's really cool.
No,
like,
no,
gigantic
I did not.
Statue of a Jedi that's laid... That's where they harvest this rock that is what makes the... It's like Star Wars lore that you don't give a fuck, but I thought it was a really cool touchstone.
They're going through it either... Okay, look, they're either going through it way, way too fast, or they're distracting you either by the Asian guys, I am the Force was with me... The guy with the fucking Gatling gun, or K2SO, which was the other good thing that
K2SO
I really liked.
He was really good.
Super fucking funny. Like, all the memes that are like, oh, wait, I should have stayed on the ship. Never mind, I'll go back. And he, like, catches a grenade and, like, throws it off and it fucking explodes.
Well, and that's what I mean. Okay, so they have droids, just like they do in all the other movies. You got droids, you got C-3PO, But this droid is, like, super sarcastic. Like, we've never seen a droid like this in the Star Wars universe before.
His programming has been altered.
He's got a big mouth, and he's just, like, constantly fucking with everybody. Like, there's nobody that he is above fucking with.
Yeah.
Or that is above his fucking with.
Yeah.
His fuckwithery.
And apparently he's the first one that's done exclusively with CGI, Alan Tudyk, from the Firefly series and Serenity that, so.
Yeah, and, you know, the pirate from Dodgeball.
That's right. All the memes are just fantastic. Like, there's a picture that, you know, you saw in our line group, and it says, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, and then down below, my captain said that I had to tell you that.
Yeah, nice.
So, yeah.
So, on one hand, they're able to take some of the stuff from the series and make their own with it, and on the other hand, they try too hard, which is, you know, Diego Luna is wearing Han Solo's shirt, he's got his haircut, he's got his blaster, he fires his gun like him, he stands in Han Solo's stance when he fires his gun.
Yeah.
Why not make it your own? Why not have your own outfit? I don't blame Diego Luna, I blame the makers of the movie. Also, there was a couple other ones that just bothered me, you know? I mean, there was a couple times in the movie where it's like, why did we need to do that, you know? Why did we need to depend so heavily on, like, literally, the Darth Vader stuff, for instance.
Okay.
Okay, final scene with Darth Vader.
Bad fucking ass.
Bad
Holy
ass.
Fucking shit. And about time, too, because they've given this guy long enough to try to, like, you know, we've seen Yoda, we've seen...
Talk about showing, not telling. Like,
yeah.
No fucking talking. I'm walking on this ship and fucking people up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to use the Force, slam people into walls, choke them out, slice them in half with my lightsaber, get out of my fucking way.
That's right. And then I'm going to go back to my castle from wherever the fuck. It looks like fucking Koopa's castle, like World 8 and shit. Like, he's just living there all by his lonesome.
Well, that was the first scene. So there's two scenes with Vader. The one at the end, which is badass, we both agree. The first scene starts off really cool.
Yeah.
He's, like, you know, taking a steam bath or whatever it is he's taking. He's taking a dry ice bath.
Which, by the way, before you go any further, those two guys that are, like, on guard in front of the place are, like...
Yeah, the Crimson...
What do they do? Like, honestly, like, what's their, like, 9-to-5 job? They're just there all the time.
They're wearing those, like, Crimson gowns, and this is a really obscure reference, but it really reminds me of Jeremy Irons' surgical suit from Dead Ringers.
Yeah!
Have you ever seen that movie?
Yeah.
Like, it's the exact same thing. But those guys were in the, you know, in the original movies, in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
I think they're... I love those costumes. I think they're really creepy looking. So it starts off with him in his dry ice bath or whatever.
Yeah.
And you probably see more of uncovered Darth Vader than we ever have before. It's really
cool. He's in the fucking...
cool moment. The claw machine picking him up out of the fucking dry ice canister.
Cost you a dollar.
The claw. And then...
Yes.
We get into this weird conversation between him and Ben Mendelsohn, which is this, like, sort of boring, like... imperial office nuts and bolts conversation.
Right. With
them, like, bickering back and forth about the, you know, like, the dotting the I's and crossing the T's of the Death Star stuff. Like,
yeah.
And then, even more insulting than Vader having this very mundane, fucking pedestrian workplace conversation,
right,
is at the end, when he does the force choke on Ben Mendelsohn, and he drops that terrible fucking pun.
Don't go choke
on your aspirations. God.
Force is not strong with that one.
Yeah, the reshoots didn't cover cutting that piece of shit out. Ugh.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. That was really bad. But let's get back to Darth Vader kicking everybody's ass. Because again, it just goes into everyone's dying, and you think it's over. Oh, but it's not.
Yeah,
and there's just
cool.
bunch of red suits from Star Trek, and they're just, you know,
sliced open.
Yeah, they're just being thrown over
while
and
they're passing those plans. You know, like they're passing those plans. Like everything that the movie has built, like the last 5 minutes of the movie works better than the previous 2 hours of the movie.
Yeah,
that's not a good thing. You know,
well,
I agree with you know, McKee from Adaptation, which is wow, I'm in the end, and you got a hit. But you can only take that so far, you know, like, it can't be the last 5 minutes. But that's a cool moment where they're literally passing the thing on, like, some guy's passing it off, the plans, and, you know, he gets, like, sliced open, the door closes, they barely get away with it.
Yeah.
And they get it off to Leia, who is also CGI, and then, you know, she says, hope, and the movie ends. It's got a cool ending.
It does have a cool ending.
Ultimately, like, I can't say that I disliked it.
I've been told by a fellow Star Wars fan / friend that this does not feel like a Star Wars movie. That's the reason why they really didn't like it as much as Force Awakens, because there's no scroll, there's no swell of the John Williams theme, there's no there's no panning from the center, and apparently they've always gone
the weird swipes
to the left, and it just goes directly to the planet.
That's a Lucas thing. Yeah, I mean that's what he did with the original movie, and then did it with the prequels. You know. It doesn't feel like that series, but it feels like a Star Wars movie.
Okay.
It doesn't feel like it fits quite into it. I think they did a fairly good job of that, which is they made it a Star Wars movie, but it's kind of its own thing, too. It's got its own feel.
So, ultimately, would you recommend this movie?
Ultimately, I would have to ask someone, like, do you like Star Wars? Like, are you a Star Wars fan? If they say, I don't really give a shit about Star Wars, then I would say, that's probably not for you.
Yeah.
You, for instance, like, I probably, if you were on the fence about seeing this movie and asked me, I would probably be like, it's not gonna move your needle one way or the other.
Okay.
And did it? Am I right about that? Like, are you ever gonna watch this movie again?
Probably not.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's not as flawed as another movie that I'm about to mention as we move into the second half hour of The Real Thing on MoreLikeRadio.com, but, I mean, I liked it for what it was worth.
Yeah.
It was all right.
That's how I felt about it.
Yeah, it was...
I will probably see it again down the road if it's on cable. I'm not gonna... You know, it's not Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, you know?
No, it is absolutely not that.
And it's not even the most recent Jason Bourne movie,
which is definitely not something
I would call a disappointment.
Yeah.
This was not a disappointment. However, it wasn't something that I would go nuts over and tell my mom to go see something like that.
Would you expect that we're going to continue to see the same problems that were in this movie with the other side stories that are going to be coming down the line?
Interesting question. Yeah, I think probably we will.
Okay.
I think finding the balance between using the existing Star Wars universe and sort of going to the well of touchstones that the audience knows and creating your own world is going to be hard. And it's probably going to be even harder going forward because this movie was already a world that they really didn't understand. The audience didn't know.
Yeah.
We didn't know any of these characters.
Yeah.
We didn't know anything about this story.
Okay.
When you go to make a Han Solo movie or you go to make a Boba Fett movie, it's going to be even harder.
Are they making a Boba Fett movie?
I know that was one of the things they talked about for a while. What are we... I feel like they are, though. I feel like they are. That might be... I don't know if that's official or not. But...
Or as Carrie Fisher used to call him, a giant salivating tongue.
Well, no, that was the Sarlacc.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sorry. Not to nerd out.
No, go right ahead, because I don't know... Obviously, I don't know Dick. But, well, I mean, I do know Dick because of our previous conversation.
Oh,
but anyway, hey-o, so...
Yeah. No, it's going to be harder once you get to a Han Solo movie to not... you know, go to the well of what the audience already knows to make it your own. That's going to be very difficult. However, I'm excited to see it.
I mean, even in the hands of, you know, Phil Lord and Chris Miller.
I think that's a perfect choice for the filmmaker. I think they could not have made a better choice for the writer-directors of the movie.
Okay.
Because they are good at comedy, they are good at action. The movie needs to be those two things. Han Solo is a funny character.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that is a very inspired choice. I wish them the best. That's going to be a very difficult job.
Well, as we move on the real thing on morelikeradio.com, we've alluded to it far enough, and let's just get right to it. Carrie Fisher died. She died today. She died this morning at 8:55 a.m. as a result of a heart attack that she'd suffered on a flight from London to Los Angeles last Friday and had been hospitalized in intensive care and was in stable condition, but honestly, you can't not breathe for 10 minutes without some sort of serious ramifications as far as your health is concerned, and so... I know that there's been, obviously a huge outpouring when it comes to her actors and Hollywood as a whole, but man, go in each of our respective timelines on Facebook or any kind of social media, and just everybody's just all...
I've not been on social media today.
Well, you should, because everything's either about Carrie Fisher or about Princess Leia, rest in peace, you're one with the Force now, and...
It's so weird, because it's like most of those people, you'd be like, name one other movie that she did other than Star Wars. I don't think they could do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily mean that they shouldn't be sad. They should, because she is iconic. Like, she didn't have to do anything else. She's Princess Leia.
Right.
But she did, and, she wrote so many good books, and of course she wrote Postcards from the Edge, the fantastic movie.
Well, let me read you.
And her part in When Harry Met Sally, which I think is fucking fantastic.
Did she really? Yeah. She wrote her own part for that?
No. I'm just saying her part in the movie. Yeah.
Yeah, and she apparently, I completely forgot, she was the therapist that was helping Dr. Evil and
I forgot about that too. That's true.
So Carrie Fisher apparently had some sort of Q&A with WebMD. Don't ask me why, but they were asking her...
She was so fucking fierce in her final years here. When we saw her in interviews, she was so fucking good.
She didn't give a fuck.
Not give a shit. Holding a pug or whatever that was like the whole time. You don't like it, I won't do the interview.
Quote, if I'm trying to get a good table at a restaurant, I don't say I wrote Postcards from the Edge. Have I gotten past it? I wasn't aware that I had. I am Princess Leia, no matter what. If I were trying to get a good table, I would say I wrote Postcards. Or if I'm trying to get someone to take my check and I don't have ID, I wouldn't say... Have you seen When Harry Met Sally? Princess Leia will be on my tombstone. In fact, the other interesting thing...
I love it when a actor or any celebrity or a writer or a band can just accept that you did one thing that was brilliant.
Yeah.
And then all the other stuff's good.
Yeah.
And they got no problem with it. But don't... You know, Pearl Jam, don't not play Jeremy. You know? Bob Dylan, don't not play... Knocking on Heaven's Door, whatever the big hits of
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a Rolling Stone. Don't like, not do that.
Like, one of the other things, because I've just...
Harrison Ford needs to take a page out of this book.
Like, well, I've been reading about all this stuff today, where apparently somebody was asking her, like, she's so sick and tired of the metal bikini that she wore in Return of the Jedi, because she was Slave Leia and everything else. But she was also mad because someone asked her, like, oh, can you believe that they took... the toys off the shelf with the metal bikini, and you as Princess Leia, like, that's really fucking stupid. You want to know why? Because I killed Jabba the Hutt so that I didn't have to wear that. I wore that because I was enslaved to do that. So anybody that has any sort of problem, you dads that were masturbating in the shower for 45 minutes at a time when it was in 1979, 1981, like, that wasn't something that I wanted to wear. Like, Princess Leia got out of that shit,
yeah.
And that was it.
She was so fucking fierce. Maybe her whole life she was, but it seems like the last couple years, especially since Force Awakens came out, we saw her in all these interviews. Because you see all the other people, and they're like, smiling and doing the Today Show interview.
Yeah.
And she's just like, fucking deadpan face with a French bulldog, or whatever the fuck that animal was. She had the tongue hanging out.
Oh, Gary. Yeah, Gary the dog.
Always in the interview, and she was just so fucking, like, biting and fucking sour and
she was honest.
Really hilarious.
But she was honest with herself. She was honest with herself. She was honest with her audience. Like, everybody that is...
This is a great interview.
Everybody that has listened to an interview or interviews like you're talking about knows that like she had a very, very well documented drug habit.
Oh yeah.
And she's talking about how
talked about it quite a bit.
And she's talking about like, listen, if I want to do something that is typically not embraced, that's, you know, a little bit on the wild side, I'm all for it. But one of the main pieces of advice that she was offering in another interview that she gave was that, listen, it's cool if you do drugs, just don't do drugs like hardcore, like to the bore all the time. Like, you got to give yourself a break. I'm snorting heroin, and I did it once, and all this other shit. Like, I would have done it intravenously, but people died. There was another thing that I read where she apparently had talked to George Lucas in an article with Vanity Fair, and she was talking about how, here's what happens when you die in space, and I quote, "So now, George came to my show when it was in Berkeley. He came backstage and explained why you can't wear your bra, your brassiere in other galaxies, and I have a sense you will be going to outer space very soon. So here's why you cannot wear your brassiere. So what happens when you go into space? You become weightless. So far, so good, right? But then your body expands, but your bra doesn't. So you get strangled by your own bra. So now I think this would make for a fantastic obituary, now that we're talking about
right.
it. So I tell my younger friends that no matter how I go, I want it reported that I drowned in the moonlight, strangled by my own bra." So who's to say that would not be said or will not be said? But
yeah, it should be. It should be on our tombstone.
It's
and then now the question though becomes, and you know, like obviously we've been talking about it for 10 minutes, and
yeah.
we're both fans. But is she done? Like, did she film everything?
I she was supposed to film? Can't imagine. Well, wait, who's directing the next one? It's Ryan Johnson, right?
No. Well, the next one that we're about to see.
The next episode.
Episode 8, which has not come out yet, but will come out later this year, later in 2017. Yes, that's Ryan Johnson.
He tweeted that he got to know her, felt like he knew her close.
Oh, yeah, that movie has wrapped.
Yeah.
The question is, the final movie, which will be directed by Colin Trevorrow.
Okay.
Was she going to be in that, and how much, and are we going to get a CGI instead, and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Would you care?
Well, the CGI takes me out of the fucking movie.
Yeah?
It fucks me up. When you do the CGI human.
What about,
I mean, like, there's worse things in the world. Like, I'm sure Colin Trevorrow's like, you know, oh shit, it fucks Chris up if we have to, you know.
Like, who was the actor that was in Gladiator? They, like, almost got...
Oliver Reed.
Yes.
That was the first time I remember it ever happening.
Yeah, and they...
And that fucked me up.
They kind of, like, superimposed... But it was a very small part. Like,
it was a super, super small scene.
Maybe they'll just rewrite it in order to have her in a very small scene.
That's what I would guess will happen. They will minimize... And I do think that we should learn that from the Tarkin thing, because I've heard other people saying what I did. Of course, I've heard other people saying what you did, which is they loved it, and they thought it was the best CGI human ever done.
They also said, I am a fucking dumb person, and I didn't realize Peter Cushing was dead for the last 22 goddamn years.
Keisha, my wife, did not notice, like, thought that he was just wearing too much makeup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, thought that he looked like a drag queen.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, listen, I think that in lieu of how... beloved Carrie Fisher is.
Yeah.
Princess Leia is. They would not do anything in order to dishonor her legacy,
no.
especially in regards to Star Wars.
No.
Now, I will say that, you know, obviously, truth be told, everyone's sick and tired of fucking people dying. We've only got 4 goddamn days left. I didn't even mention that Zsa Zsa Gabor died, but she's supposed to die because she's 99 years old.
That was one of those, I think, for the entire universe, it was like, Zsa Zsa Gabor,
yeah, she's still alive?
What?
Yeah. But, like, George Michael, for example, like, fucking 53, and he died peacefully in his sleep, heart failure.
I know, at home.
Yeah, because his partner went
heart
to go...
Heart failure, though, that's what they say about everybody. I mean, everybody's heart fails.
Well, you can fail, you can have your heart fail at 53 or 60 if you do too many goddamn drugs, and so, you know.
Too many drugs, who knows, we have no idea what happened to him either, very sad. You know, all these, like, hey, universe, you know Trump's still alive, right?
Yeah, why?
You know, Yoko Ono is still alive.
Yeah, our fucking heroes are dying. Why can't our fucking enemies die? That's all. That's all I'm saying. So
seriously, Kate Hudson living.
our show is going to go over. I am going to let you know right now. Hippo right. Juice is coming up next on morelikeradio.com. We are the real thing. We are Chris Whetton and Mark Nixon, and so. But we're at minute 53.
Nice.
We still got a little bit of time left. It'll just be a little bit over.
What are we doing? We got to talk about previews and Christmas movies.
Well, yeah, and let's talk about it. So two significant trailers.
Significant trailers.
Significant trailers. Oh shit, we forgot. And this concludes.
This just talked about significant deaths.
I know. This concludes significant.
Significant deaths.
Thank you, Chris.
Need a little echo there.
Yeah. So we are presently in the era of basic reboots. I mean, we're going to get a reboot of Blade Runner, Blade Runner 2049 this summer.
Yep.
And we're also going to get the sequel to the prequel of the Alien trilogy, because it is after Prometheus, right? That's my understanding.
Yes, it takes place chronologically after Prometheus. Yes.
Okay, so Alien Covenant...
But prior to the Alien movies that we know and love.
Correct. Alien Covenant and Blade Runner 2049, their respective trailers came out, both of which are...
Ridley Scott.
And
in
so,
one way or another.
And Blade Runner 2049 not only has Harrison Ford, but also has the introduction of Ryan Gosling. He's
Ryan
going
Gosling,
to be a character,
yeah.
so...
Yeah. And lots of other actors. And it's Denis Villeneuve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The lady also expresses her
my wife was the same. Gosling, I'm in.
Yeah. Gosling, he's...
yeah.
So...
It's going to be my wife's, the title of her autobiography. Gosling, I'm in.
I have very strong opinions about each of these trailers. Mm. I want to hear from you first.
Mm.
Or I can go first if you want.
Well, here's my thing with Blade Runner. I'll go first on Blade Runner, you go first on Alien Covenant.
Okay.
My thing with Blade Runner is, the original Blade Runner, the Philip K. Dick story.
Yeah.
Like, the movie is like one half of a fucking amazing movie.
Okay.
Second half of Blade Runner sucks. No one ever talks about it.
Never seen it.
Or maybe it's like the last third. What the fuck?
You've never seen
Blade Runner?
Well, how am I going to see it now if you're talking about how amazing it is and how it sucks the last half?
And last third. I'll say last third. First two thirds are a very good movie.
Right. Even Brian Castagneda, our friend, our dear friend, has also said basically the same thing. Like, it's forgettable. Like, I don't remember when I saw it last, and it's just, you know.
It's mostly a great movie because at the time, it has a sort of a look and a feel and a texture to it that just... did not exist in movies before that.
Okay.
They sort of create this world of Los Angeles in 2000 whatever, which is futuristic and is just was sort of unheard of sci-fi effects at the time.
Okay.
It like for the 80s, for the time when we were, you know, seeing, you know, like the Benji movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And sci-fi like effects just weren't able to world build the way we can world build with movies now. That's why you couldn't have made Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings back then.
Okay.
You just couldn't build an entire world. This movie did. That's what Blade Runner's so amazing. That's how it's so amazing. But it does have an interesting sort of detective story about a detective who's sort of tracking down robots that have sort of kind of escaped, and robots are in and among us, and yada yada yada. It's kind of interesting. But the last third comes off the fucking rails.
Okay.
Gets all weird and philosophical. They're running around fighting in the rain for like 20 fucking minutes. It's just a shit ending to a really good movie.
Let me take it back. I believe... Okay. Then this goes into what Brian and you have mentioned, where I actually do believe that I've seen this movie. I saw it way back in college when I was using it as one of our projects for film theory.
Yeah.
But it was so forgettable, I was like, I don't even give a fuck. Like, I don't care because of the last third or just, you know, comes off the rails.
Yeah, the last third is where it loses me. That's why it's not a classic in my mind.
Okay.
I mean, it's classic technically, but like, the first two thirds is really interesting shit. Like, Harrison Ford, like, who was at the top of his game, is like kind of grizzled private detective. And then there's all these other fan theories about, is he a replicant or not?
Yeah.
All this kind of stuff. Sort of interesting stuff.
Okay, and the new one.
The new one. So that's my thing with the new one. It's like, well, kind of didn't make one good Blade Runner movie. So now you're going to make another Blade Runner movie, which is fine. Except you got a new guy, Gosling. The preview does not quite work for me. The preview is very, very bizarre.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much just, hey, look at Gosling. Like, that's what this movie should be called. And then you get Harrison Ford, which, is it in his contract now that he's just going to be wearing a gray t-shirt in every movie? Like, he's like, I'll do the movie, but I'm just going to wear a gray t-shirt.
Get the fuck out of my way.
Yeah, and it's like, I want to see my old guns. And, you know, he just doesn't look interested at all. Well, by the way, go ahead and get CGI Harrison Ford ready, because it's essentially the same thing we have. The guy looks so uninterested in every movie, and you can see the disinterest in his face in the preview.
Yeah.
He's doing the same thing. Like, back in the 80s, they had kind of a twinkle in his eye. That was what was so great about him. It's gone now. It is just gone. He's just like, this is a paycheck, you know? Like,
this is a dump truck full of money that was driving into my fucking driveway.
2049 was how many million dollars he got to do this movie, probably. You know, I don't know. I am not convinced. I'm not saying that it won't be a good movie. I'm not saying I won't see it.
Yeah.
There's nothing in this preview that convinces me that it needs to be seen.
It's just, it's produced by Ridley Scott. directed by Denis Villeneuve. It's got Ryan Gosling and Harrison Ford.
Yeah, someone
takes their elbow and just mashes it on the keyboard. And I'm supposed to like, oh my gosh, I'm like, and they say like four words of dialogue, which is four more words of dialogue that was said in the Drive movie, but
yeah,
and
the way the preview is set up is like, we don't have to say anything but Blade Runner, and my argument is, yeah, you do, because Blade Runner's not perfect.
Okay, this is the other thing. It's by Ridley Scott, right? He's producing it, but he is, I mean.
These days.
He's fucking directing it. I mean, come on. Like,
oh, I don't know about that. I mean, I'm sure he's involved. That fucking dude's 80 or whatever. Like, I don't know that he can direct two movies at once. And Villeneuve, I don't think, is the kind of, like, he certainly, say what you will about him, but I think he's the kind of guy that is going to do his own thing.
Sure. But
movies have eight producers now.
Right,
you know?
but that being said, like, I should be more excited about it because we've seen Arrival. We both agree, like, it's a good movie. Like, you know, Sicario, we differ, but Prisoners is good. Like, he's a good director, but on the same, my point is that Ridley Scott is responsible for this. Then you watch Alien Covenant.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Don't release any more trailers.
Seriously.
This is fucking perfect.
It's perfect.
Oh my god.
Yep.
Like, I even went so far back. I watched this trailer. I got all excited about it. It's got Danny fucking McBride in it.
I know.
Which just got, like, it just passed me by before I realized, like,
was that McBride?
Holy shit, that's Kenny fucking Powers. So I watched the trailer, I watch it again. It's like, it's going back to, like, its roots. It's fucking horror. Like, they're, you know, like, you know what's going to happen. They don't, but they're trying to do it in different ways. They even use the same sound that John Hurt got smacked in the face with the facehugger when the fucking egg opens up in the original Alien.
Yeah.
So then I was curious. I was like, all right, Ridley Scott's doing this. This looks really good. We're having very, just crossing our fingers until they break that this is going to be better than Prometheus. So I went back and I watched Prometheus, and it's a fucking train wreck.
Yeah.
You could watch all the clips on YouTube, you'd be fine.
Yeah.
Totally, totally fine. I tried, too. It's got Charlize Theron, Idris Elba. It's got the original fucking girl with the dragon tattoo, Noomi Rapace.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
All these good actors, and it seemed to me like they were...
Fassbender.
Fassbender!
Yeah.
And he's
the best thing about the movie.
He's the best thing about the movie. But it was almost like I'm deliberately trying to act bad. Here's some aliens. Here's a zombie alien. We don't know the fuck's going on over here.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you guys are scientists.
Not acting like scientists.
Why are you sticking your head where it doesn't belong and shit?
Right, yeah.
I'm like, god damn it. But
yeah, nothing about the movie made sense. It did have 1.5 to 2 minute sequences here and there that worked very well.
That all being said, I have elevated hopes for not only the marketing for Alien Covenant, but also the trailer. Don't release anything else. Don't release anything else.
But now,
really fucking good.
I'm like a fucking battered wife after Prometheus. I'm like, how are they going to fuck with us? Is it going to be Alien the last 5 minutes of the movie? It's going to be all weird, like, squishy, like, black worms and shit, like, before that. And,
yeah.
You know, like, then we're going to finally get the Xenomorph at the end of the movie. It does look, just judging from this trailer, which it's hard to judge a movie based on a minute and a half trailer or whatever it is, but
yeah.
It appears that it took all the stuff that worked from Prometheus, which is Fassbender, and the look of the movie, like, it sort of looks the same.
Well, I've also read that there are two
Fassbender droid characters, which is the David character from the Prometheus movie.
Right.
You'll see him.
Yeah.
In whatever form, I don't know.
Bodiless.
Yeah, bodiless and maybe out of, you know, like, you know, out of commission or who knows.
Sure.
But he also plays another droid from that same series with a different name.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, so it's like every Snickers bar looks alike. You know? So it's pretty much the same thing.
I'm want to feel the same way that you do, but man, it looks really good.
It's a cool, cool trailer.
It looks
really
good.
And what's exciting is the Xenomorph.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't show that tail and you don't show that face, you got another Prometheus trailer on your hands.
Yeah.
But you also have the egg bursting open with the facehugger.
Well, I was also going to ask, what do you think is the significance of the spores?
Significant spores.
We got significant deaths and spores and all different kinds of shit on the real thing of morelikeradio.com.
I don't know. I don't know. And I'm glad I don't know. Like you, I want this to be the last trailer for the movie. But I mean, Prometheus, basically you had this sort of substance which was the stuff that they used to terraform Earth, and it was sort of the genesis of life, and whatever thing touched it, like the next creature that came of it was sort of a part of that thing. And
it's
all
like the
kind
DNA
of
the engineers from the original.
Yeah, the DNA of the engineers. You've seen it more recently than I have. That's a better way to put it.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing this is something having to do with that. I'm getting like something along those lines. But I don't know. I certainly do not know.
God damn it, Prometheus was fucking infuriating. I'm telling you, man.
Fucked me up for this next movie now.
It fucking sucks. Like it doesn't. Okay, wait. It doesn't suck like. You know what it sucks like? It sucks like Jason Bourne. It sucks exactly like Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
You want it to be good. It's got all good things that are there. Like, how do you fuck it up? Like William Hurt would say.
I know. It's like a shitty blowjob.
Yeah, the beach.
Fuck that up.
BJ's over in Dallas Tejas and stuff.
The beach.
So as we wrap up on the real thing on morelikeradio.com, we would like to say to all of you in this upcoming new year, as we are seriously trying to get over 2016 and all the significant deaths that have occurred, this is the last time that we're going to mention Christmas, because I hate Christmas. I know that you kind of...
Yeah,
you're not that bad.
Take it or leave it.
Yeah. So, but...
I got kids. It's different.
But there is, you know, the yearly conversation, the yearly question that is always posed, and that is, what is the best Christmas movie? What is the Christmas movie that you would recommend to family and friends, coworkers, etc., that is either dealing directly with Christmas or just has Christmas in the background and we're just dealing in the universe of Christmas while this is happening or that's happening? Chris, I pose the question to you. What would you say is, you know, like a good Christmas movie?
Wait, are we doing a couple or are we doing like just one?
I'll do a couple.
My favorite, like, if I answer, like, gun to my head, like, first thing out of my mouth is always Scrooged.
Okay.
I love Scrooge.
Okay.
Love Bill Murray. You know, Scrooge famously got, like, horrible reviews when it came out.
Yes.
Roger Ebert in particular fucking hated it. and I just think it's brilliant, and everything about it is hilarious.
Yeah.
And I actually did watch it this year. I don't watch every Christmas movie every year, or every movie that I like.
Yeah.
But I did watch Scrooged.
Okay.
What about you?
My first gun to my head movie, and it's only because I've been growing up on it since I was a little kid, to the point where now they play it on a 24-hour loop on TBS as a Christmas story.
Don't tell me.
Christmas story, man. I love a Christmas story.
For some reason, my family never watched this movie.
Really?
Right. So I never saw it until, like, high school.
Okay.
So I literally saw this movie for the first time when I was, like, 15. You know, like, the last day before Christmas break when your teacher just says, like, ah, fuck it, we're watching a movie, you know, like,
right.
And that's when I saw A Christmas Story, and I was just like, okay, this is it. Like,
okay.
This is what everybody's so nuts about?
Sure.
And even since then, even since high school, this movie has gained, now you can buy, like, at Target, you can buy Christmas ornaments that's the leg and all this kind of stuff.
Ah, the leg.
And the marketing for this movie is everywhere. Like, you can buy merchandise for this movie all over the place.
This is probably the reason why I have such a thing for, like, legs and stockings and all that sort of...
Because I hate this movie. Shit gives me a boner, too.
Fragile.
Fragile.
Yeah,
it's got some funny stuff.
It's a statue. Yeah, it's a statue. how about another one? Give me another one.
Die Hard. The other Christmas movie I watched
this
year. And I love that it's in the culture now to argue, not about Die Hard being a Christmas movie, but to argue about whether Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Right. Why
is it a fucking Christmas movie?
Why is it a Christmas movie?
It's a Christmas movie because he is coming there for Christmas.
Ah.
It's not just happening in the background. He doesn't want to be in this. There's nothing about this situation that he wants to be there except for his kids. Like, he's coming to see his kids and try and hook back up with his wife and, like, get this thing back together for Christmas.
Okay.
Carrying a big teddy bear. You know, and there's a Christmas party that it's taking place at.
Right. They're fucking playing Christmas in Hollis on the way in the limousine to Christmas the Nakatomi Plaza.
Lots of jingle bells in the background. You don't notice it, but you go back and watch the movie. Lots of, like, jing, 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 you know, lots of that going on with the score.
Yeah.
And it's just a badass fucking action movie, one of the best action movies ever made.
Yeah.
And sure, it just does kind of have Christmas in the background, but I don't give a fuck, because there's no really good action movies about Santa Claus, so...
There's fucking good memes. There's so many good memes, but my most favorite one is that it's not Christmas until I see Hans Gruber falling from the 31st floor of Nakatomi Plaza.
And that ornament.
Oh my God! Yes, where he's just like, "Come out to the coast. We'll get together, have a few laughs."
I want to know what a TV dinner feels like.
My counter to that.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Where's the drop?
Oh, I know.
Oh shit! Oh, that's all right. My counter to that one Batman Returns.
Hell yeah.
Batman Returns has nothing and everything to do with Christmas, to the point where the Penguin even references the fact that Max Schreck, who's brilliantly played by Chris Walken, by the way, Walken also being one of the best bad guy actors that you can get.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only reason why I would even watch A View to a Kill.
Makes a hell of a cup of coffee.
Unlimited poontang. Which I caught, finally, this last time that I'm watching it and stuff. But it has everything to do with Christmas and nothing to do with Christmas, but everything to do with Christmas because, oh, yeah. You know, just the, you know, quotable quotes. A mistletoe can be...
Quotable quotes.
Quotable quotes. A mistletoe can be deadly if you eat it, but a kiss can be even deadlier if you mean it.
Yeah. I love Batman Returns.
Yeah. Arguably the best Batman movie because it's not really... Arguably.
Certainly the best of the original Batman movies, yes. Up to... But it's hard to argue that it's better than
Dark Knight
or,
right.
You know, Batman Begins.
Well, shit, this is coming from the guy that's got a fucking Joker tattoo on his
that's
arm.
That's true. So, that's true, but I love Batman. I definitely think it's better than the original Batman movie, which I also like.
Right.
And there's no question that it's better than the Schumacher.
Robin and yeah. Forever and all that shit.
Although I love watching those. I cannot not watch those when they're on TV. Like, what the fuck were they thinking? Oh my god, how did they take this to this direction?
Yeah. Give me a final one. Final Christmas movie that you would recommend.
I got a couple more written down here.
Sure, I'll do two more.
I'll power through. I gotta say, well, you gotta mention National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh, of course.
Because that's a thing, that's a weird one, because it's like, it's not something that the generation prior to ours really likes. Like, we kind of embraced that as kids and our parents sort of didn't. Like, do your parents like that movie?
Oh my god, yes. Are you kidding me?
My parents don't.
They like it because of me watching it, though.
Probably. Yeah. And I know, like, I don't know if my wife's family watches it all that much, but I know lots of people our generation are nuts about it.
Yeah.
And but that movie, as far as just pound for pound, joke for joke for joke for joke,
yeah.
In an hour and a half movie or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You'd be hard pressed to find, forget a Christmas movie, any comedy.
Right.
Like, you've got to go to something like Naked Gun.
Yes.
To find something that's got, like, joke for joke, that much humor in it. Like,
right.
That many fucking well-written jokes.
Right.
It's weird, because no other Christmas, or no other vacation movie even comes close. Like, the first one is funny, but,
yeah.
And European Vacation, Vegas Vacation, like, there's nowhere yeah. near that level of humor in
right.
the movie.
Until Eddie shows up.
Yeah. Sure. But this one, it's funny before and after Eddie.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Everything about the fucking, there's not a 2-minute sequence in that movie where you're not laughing.
But I know what you're talking about. I think the point that you're trying to make is that everyone that's, you know, older than our parents, for example, they always go to Miracle on 34th Street
yeah,
or
it's
White
a Wonderful
Christmas.
Life. And those
yeah.
are good movies.
Yeah.
They are. Like, It's a Wonderful Life is on my list.
Right.
But I like dick and fart jokes, you know? Even on Christmas.
Right. Well, I like grown men being destroyed by an 8-year-old, so Home Alone would be my
oh,
personal
yeah.
pick for...
We watched it the other day.
Jesus Christ.
It. Yeah.
Home Alone 1 or 2?
1. I have only seen Home Alone 2 once, and I'm not even sure I saw the whole thing.
Oh, okay. So you missed our future president in the
yeah,
movie.
I know so. That he's in it only yeah. because in the last year I've seen those clips on TV, but I don't know it. I could not name you, you know, significant plot points. I could not name those for you. I mean, I know he's fucking lost in New York or whatever, and then
yeah,
he's gonna
yeah, yeah.
beats the shit out of him at the end, but
right.
that's basically how all those movies go. The first one, though, is a very sweet movie. It's hard to argue with how charming a young actor he was in that first movie. And I remember going to see it at 10 years old and the theater being packed out. You know, that movie was a blockbuster.
Yeah.
You know?
First movie that I... one of the first movies that I had worked in around whenever I worked at the very first weekend of Merchants Walk 10, Jingle All the Way.
Yep. Yep.
So that's just like, you know, that and only for that reason. Like, I don't give a shit about the movie or anything else.
It's a cute movie.
Yeah.
I mean, Schwarzenegger has comedy chops. He doesn't use them all that much, but he does. And by the way, Phil Hartman.
Oh, yeah.
Phil Hartman, I'm in.
Are you a fan of Nightmare Before Christmas?
Not so much, but my kids fucking love it. My
yeah.
son went as Jack Skellington for Halloween.
Ah, shit.
He's 4 years old. It's only the second time in his life that he's gotten to choose his own Halloween costume, and he chose Jack Skellington. They love that movie.
Nice. We do an act based on the Oogie Boogeyman for
uh-huh.
Moxie LaFemme. So,
yep.
So anyway, what else do you get?
Power through a couple here. I got Lethal Weapon. Christmas movie. Technically, a little bit more tangentially than Die Hard. Like, very vaguely a Christmas involved.
Ernest
doesn't really have anything to do with the story.
Ernest Saves Christmas?
Filmed entirely in Florida.
Shit, that's right. I forgot about that.
Almost all the Ernest movies filmed entirely in Florida on the MGM Studios.
Okay.
Let's see. Love Actually.
Yeah, everyone always goes back to that. Like, it's the new classic. The new Christmas classic.
Two new classics in the last 20 years.
Okay.
Love Actually and Elf.
Yes.
Elf is fucking, like, it's in the zeitgeist. Again, like, you can buy Buddy the Elf Christmas ornaments at Walmart and things like that, you know? I mean, Buddy the Elf, that is like a musical and, you know, all this other shit.
Yeah. My classic within the last 20 years, and I know that you know that I like this and you don't like it as much because it's just so black and so awful, is Bad Santa. I don't care.
Did you see the sequel?
No, and I don't want to.
You don't want to.
I don't
want to
ruin it.
Terrible reviews.
That's why I don't want to watch it.
I tried again to watch Bad Santa, man. I tried like a year ago. And God, it's just so fucking angry and just unpleasant.
Because I'm angry and I get
angry and unpleasant. But right. God, I feel so sorry for that fat kid with the curly hair.
Thurman Merman.
I just can't fucking watch it. I'm like, oh God, stop. You know?
Yeah.
I recognize that it's funny, but it's just not my thing.
Yeah.
It's like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I'm the same way with that show.
Oh,
like,
but I love that show.
I know you do. That's what I'm saying. It's the same type of feeling I have when I watch that show, which is, Jesus Christ, everyone is so unlikable.
Yeah, and you've seen The Night Before, right?
The Night Before. Yeah, we watched it July 4th weekend, strangely enough. We saw it I know, but that was, my family, you know, we always get together for the holidays in the summer, and we watch a movie, and that's what we watch.
Gotcha. What else do you get?
I thought it was cute. I didn't think it was fantastic. I think that's it. Gremlins.
Oh, Jesus.
Gremlins
is
a fucking great holiday.
Oh, my gosh.
Great Christmas movie.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're fucking Mogwai in a Santa hat and shit.
Yeah, when they're like singing the Christmas carols and then whatever, the old lady like, oh my gosh.
My kids are obsessed with this movie too. To the point where they can do weird like sound bites from the movie. Like my kids are starting to do this. My son can do this.
Yeah.
The sound of Stripe doing the cannonball into the pool. I can't even do it as well as my 4-year-old son can do it.
I thought you were going to say, like, whenever he gets hungry and he wants something, and he goes, gizmo, caca.
Yeah. He can do all that shit.
Holy shit.
No, I love Gremlins. And again, love the first one. Second one,
Sorry,
Jason Hornsby. I love Gremlins, and the second one is fine. I just don't think it's the masterpiece Jason Hornsby does.
It's not the comedy of the 90s, in my opinion. So
no.
It's not going to happen.
Sorry, buddy. I read your whole thing, and I liked it, but no.
So, that's Christmas in a nutshell, and we're going to not touch it for the next 360-plus on days. And so, as always, we appreciate your patronage, ladies and gentlemen. And in lieu of the other icon that has recently died, Mr. George Michael, not to be confused with Michael Cera from Arrested Development, we will leave you with my jam, motherfuckers! This shit's my jam. It's Freedom 90. Chris Wetton, as always, it is a pleasure working with you. And I won't give you up because we plan to rock it in 2017. But as always, we are the real thing on morelikeradio.com. If you've been listening this entire time, go listen to Hippo Juice. Go listen to the other shows on morelikeradio.com. But please follow us, refer us to your friends and family and people that like movies. We are the real thing, MORTHERETHING MOR. Enjoy your week. We will see you in 2017, ladies and gentlemen.